You say that the people of that country had no language.
I didn't hear anyone speak, but that don't mean there's no language.
Indeed.
Nobody talks there, that's all. You know what I mean? They just look at each other and understand everything.
Is it cold there, Diamond?
No.
Is it warm?
No.
What is it then?
You never think about such things there.
So this was how Diamond used to answer questions about that country. And I could tell you more of his curious replies, except they wouldn't make you any the wiser. As for me, I would go away from such conversations with a great longing, but little sense of how it all looked or the people fared. Well, I must take up the story again and tell you how Diamond managed to get back to the country of England once more. It seems that when anyone at the back of the North Wind wanted to know how things were going with someone he loved, he had to go to a certain tree, climb up and sit in the branches. In a few minutes, if he kept very still, he would see something at least of what was going on with the people he loved. One day, when Diamond was sitting in this tree, he began to long very much to get home again. And no wonder, for he saw his mother crying.
Oh. Still.
He's breathing nicely.
I can't hear him. Oh, Mary, are you sure?
Now, now. The doctor's on his way. Try to keep calm.
But he's so cold and pale. Cold as ice. I should have taken better care of him.
My dear sister, who could have taken better care than you?
Mom, it's all right. I'm at the back of the
How long has he been like this? I've lost all track of time.
It's been almost 2 days now, and the doctor will be back any minute.
Doctors? What can doctors do now?
Why can't you hear me? Oh, it's not good. I'll just have to get down from here and find my way home.
As Diamond scrambled down from the branches, he saw the whole country beneath him like a map, and everything was shrinking. With one stride, he'd crossed the river. With another, he'd reached the ridge of ice. With the third, he stepped over its peaks and sank down at North Wind's knees once more.
North Wind.
There she sat, on her doorstep. Her pale face was white as the snow, and her motionless eyes were as blue as the caverns in the ice. But the instant Diamond touched her, her face began to change, like that of one waking from sleep.
Diamond.
North Wind. Ah, North Wind.
How very alive you are, child. Come nearer to me. Embrace me.
Have you been sitting here ever since I went through you? All that time?
Yes.
Aren't you very tired of waiting?
No. I've often had to sit longer. Do you know how long you've been there?
Oh, years and years.
You've been away from me for 7 days. But how long you may have been in there is quite another thing. Behind my back and before my face, things are so different. They don't go at all by the same rule.
I'm glad about that.
Why?
Because I've been such a long time there, and still only a little while away from my mother.
You'll go back to her now. I've got my orders, and we'll be off in a moment.
Diamond stretched out his hands, and all at once he was safe within her arms. North Wind bounded into the air, as presses began to lift and rise and spread and stream and flow and flutter, and with a roar from her hair and an answering roar from one of the great glaciers beside them, North Wind and Diamond went flying southwards. It was so gentle and soft that Diamond fell fast asleep in North Wind's arms. When he woke, a face was bending over him. But it was not North Wind's.
Oh, Diamond. Oh, you're awake.
Oh, look. Hello, Mum. What's the matter?
Oh, Diamond, my darling. You have been so ill.
No. I've been at the back of the North Wind.
My little one. I thought you were...
Now. He's all right. The boy is all right. Look, he's smiling.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Doctor, look.
Doctor.
Where now? Fancy. The boy's awake.
He just opened his eyes, Doctor. This very moment.
Just like that. He opened them wide and smiled at me.
No doubt about it, my fine fellow. You're a lot better today. The fever's broken.
Fever? I don't understand. Who are you, sir?
It's the doctor.
Oh, do I need a doctor?
You did, but perhaps not now, because I think you're getting a lot better.
But I wasn't ill. I was at the back of the North Wind.
The wind?
You must have heard it blowing last night. It blew your shutters right open this morning, falling off their hinges nearly.
But didn't you see me waving to you from the tree?
Tree? What tree?
That's enough talk for now. You must rest, my boy. Rest and keep warm.
Yes. Rest. And we must keep you very warm.
Close your eyes and rest, my son, while I show the doctor out. Mary, stay with him a moment, will you?
Of course.
Well, Doctor, what do you think?
Keep the boy quiet for a few days. Rest and plenty of quiet. Don't mind too much what he says. He may be delirious for some time yet. Has he eaten anything?
All he could manage was a few lumps of ice.
Ice?
That was 2 days ago. He sucked on the ice from his lemonade and then he seemed to sink away.
Well, ice is good if he'll take some more. Cool drinks. Plenty of liquids, but no solid food yet.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you.
And you, ma'am. You need some rest yourself now. Doctor's orders.
After a few more days, Diamond was well enough to go home to London with his mother.
Joseph! Oh, there you are.
Martha. Look at the boy. Pencil thin ears and white as a sheet of paper, but I see a little colour in his cheeks.
He's still very frail, I think. He slept the entire journey.
Diamond, time to wake up.
No, Joseph. Don't wake him.
Where are we? Are we at the back of the North Wind?
Wake up, lad. I have something to show you. A surprise. Here it is.
You hired a cab to fetch us. But the money...
I didn't hire it, Martha. This cab is ours.
It's ours? Oh, husband. Where did it come from?
It's a gift from heaven, I think. And it's ours as long as I can make a go of it. And it ain't ours no more if I don't. Come and get acquainted with the cab horse, little Diamond.
But that's funny. He looks like...
Well, how does he look, boy?
All thin and worn and old. But...
What?
He looks so much like... our old Diamond.
Oh, that's because it is old Diamond.
Your old Diamond? Surely it's not possible.
Not possible, my dear. but actual.
Oh, it is. It's old Diamond. It is him. It's him.
Hey, steady on now. Don't strangle the poor old fella.
Oh, Diamond, Diamond, you came back to us.
Yeah, well, I think he did. I think he just took it on himself to... Yes, that's it. To come right back home to us. To help get you all better.
Where did you find him?
He found me, I reckon. Or perhaps the wind just blew us together.
Oh, yes. It must have been the North Wind. Dear old Diamond. All ready now to pull us across London. Across the world.
Right then. Everybody in.
Can I drive him?
Let me drive him. Just a little.
No, Diamond. You mustn't.
Why not? Go on then now. That's it. Careful. Now, so you don't pull at his mouth, just feel at it gently and let him know that you're there and attending to him.
Like this?
That's it, good, good lad. Gently, gently. Now, that's what I call talking to him through the reins.
Yeah, I get it. Go on, Diamond. Look at us now. We're a regular team. I'm a coachman, see?
It's worrying me, Joseph. He's much too young. Please.
But see how he controls the old fella.
Husband.
He must learn someday and he can't begin too soon. It's plain to see he's a natural born coachman. And why wouldn't he be? What with me and my father and my grandfather all being coachmen? It comes natural. And he needs an interest, Martha, to help him mend.
Joseph!
Martha, please.
Oh, all right then. Hold the boy close, mind.
Oh, the boy will look after me and old Diamond better than we can look after him, I'll warrant you. Ain't that so, my little coachman?
I'd like it to be so.
Then it shall be so.
Come on, old boy.
Careful now. Careful!
Is that? Isn't that Joseph's lad?
Well, Joseph, you're coming up in the world. Two drivers in one cab.
He must be the youngest coachman in London.
He must be. Do you want to jump with me, son? I'll pay you better than your dad.
You've always had deep pockets, you have.
Come on, then. Come on, I'll wait.
Yeah, he's such a little lad.
I know, but he's going to grow up, isn't he? Yeah. Get him a new pair of big boots, he'll be brilliant.
Big boots.
Here we are, our new home.
Oh.
Martha, I must warn you, it's not quite like our old quarters, but at least we've got a roof over our head.
Dad, are we at the back of the North Wind?
No, we're at the back of something else. We're just behind the stables.
Oh, it's just, I thought I could hear the river again, sort of singing along its way.
We can't see the river from here. It's not like Mr. Coleman's garden. There's no River Thames, there's no fine boats, only the yard. But it's a serviceable place right enough, ain't it, Martha?
It's very... musty.
Oh, that's nothing. The place has been empty for a few months, that's all. But I've lit the fire, see? Bedroom's through there. Just wants airing. And look, there's bread and butter on the table.
It's so... small and dark.
Well, yes, it is dark. But then again, it's late in the day. Now, Martha, don't take on so.
No, I'm sorry. It's terribly damp, and the boy needs a good warm bedroom.
What's wrong, Mum?
Martha, don't. Not in front of the boy.
North Wind seemed a world away from this sad place. The windows of their tiny apartment now looked out upon a narrow, dirty, paved yard, with such a high brick wall around it that hardly a breeze could find its way in. There was no garden, nor was there even so much as a hole in the wall at the back of Diamond's bed for North Wind to come through. But little Diamond soon became a regular at the cab stand, and in time he was helping his father to earn a modest living. Then one night Diamond woke up, believing that he heard the sound of a terrible storm. On the other side of the partition from his bedroom was not the North Wind, but the apartment next door where another cabman's family lived.
Oh,
Diamond came wider awake. He recognized the voice of the drunken cabman from next door, Mr. O'Hara. He could hear the shouting and screaming through the wall of his bedroom.
Poor little thing.
Diamond seized his clothes and pulled them on as hastily as he could. It was pitch dark outside, and his parents were fast asleep. He crept down the stairs, out into the yard, and up the stairs of the next door apartment. He tiptoed into the room where the cabman was slumped into a chair with both arms hanging down by his sides. His wife lay in the bed, fully clothed, sobbing pitifully. Neither of them noticed Diamond as he tiptoed over to the cradle and took the little baby into his arms and began to sing very softly.
Where did you come from, baby dear? Out of the everywhere into here. Poor baby. Baby's daddy takes too much beer and gin, and that makes him like somebody else and not his own self at all. Yeah, you liked that, didn't you? Exactly. Just what I think. Soon, Daddy will wake up, be so cross and sad with himself, and Mummy will be sad too. But then she'll love Baby and take him for a walk, and Baby will be happy. There you go. Now all snuggly back in your own bed, you buy. And the wind will blow, and the river will flow. And yes, asleep again. And now Diamond will go back to his own bed. Good night.
Wife? I do somehow believe that was an angel just gone.
If you weren't so addled in your head, you'd know who it was. That was little Diamond from next door.
Who? Diamond? Oh, yeah. I heard them talking about a lad called Diamond, but I never seen him before.
I reckon the poor lad wanted to get some sleep, I do. Don't blame him. Come in to shut us all up.
Well, made me feel sad, that singing. Sad. And something else. I'm sorry, wife. I shouldn't have got so ill-tempered.
Oh, that's all right.
I don't know. Strange little lad, that. What you call him again?
Diamond.
Seemed like a little angel, you did. Like an angel. Out of heaven above.
Oh, I don't know about that. But he stopped the baby crying.
Yeah. He stopped the crying.
As time went on, Diamond kept dreaming and longing for North Wind to come back. Some days he felt she was so near he could almost touch her. But other times, he felt she had vanished forever, leaving only a memory. All he could do was carry on working on the cab stand with his father and help his parents to cope as best they could. His mother also started teaching him to read, but there was always so much to be done.
I can't find her.
Find who?
Nanny. She's not at a crossing and no one's seen her.
I don't like you going around with those street sweepers and flower girls.
Please, I'm worried about her. Something's wrong. I must help Nanny.
All right, then. But be careful. Come back here when you're done. The museum cab stand.
Thanks, Dad. The museum cab stand. Is this the place? I remember this workhouse. And then we went down a little alley, didn't we? And then through this dark gateway. Oh! And round into, yes, Paradise Row. Then down into the old damp cellar. Oh, yeah, There it is. I remember. Nanny! Nanny! Hello? Are you there? It's me, Diamond. Hello? Nanny, are you there? Is that you? Where are you? I can't see nothing. Oh, smell in the damp. This is a terrible place, this is. Where's old Cell? Hope she's not around. Nanny! Oh, you poor thing. It's all right, I found you. But you're... Nanny, can you hear me? Please wake up. Don't you know who it is? Nanny, you're in a right state, ain't you? If only the North Wind was here, she'd sweep you up and take you right through the roof. I'll get help. Nanny, you wait here. I'll get help. But where will I find help around here? What am I gonna do?
What in heaven's name?
Is this number 32 Castle Street?
Yes.
Mr. Raymond, I must see him.
Oh, must you indeed? Well, I'm afraid he's not at home to casual callers. Have you an appointment?
He gave me this card and told me to come and see him. Please, I must talk to him.
Oh, no, you won't. You go back where you came from, you shabby little beggar.
What's all this, John? Steady, this won't do. Is it a habit of yours to turn away my visitors?
Your visitors? Why, no, sir.
Then get on with your work. Come in, young man.
I don't reckon you remember me, sir.
Oh, I know you. I suppose you've come to claim your sixpence.
No, sir. Not that.
Oh, can't you read yet?
A little. But I came to tell you about Nanny. She's in trouble. Such trouble,
no,
sir.
No, wait, child. Who's Nanny?
The girl at the crossing. You talked to her the same day as me. You gave her tuppence.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, whatever's the matter with her?
She's very sick. Very bad indeed. I think her old granny has been beating her.
Beating her?
Yes, sir. And now she won't wake up.
John, get the carriage at once.
Yes, sir.
No time to lose. All right, lad. You must take me to her right away.
She's in here.
Lead the way, will you? It's so gloomy, I can hardly see.
Why are you starving, you vermin? I'll beat the living daylight out of your thick skull, little she-devil. Oh, clear it up. Go on, you
bottom house.
Get out! Get out!
No, don't hurt her!
You, stop this instant!
Wait, hold up, blazes, are you? Get out of here before I...
Before you what? Touch that girl again and you feel the end of my walking stick, I promise you. Now, step aside, madam.
I'll call for help, I will.
And help you'll need. You can be sure of that. Diamond, here, help me lift her, will you?
Yes,
sir. I can take him as a helpless woman. How shall I manage with no one to support me? At least you must pay for her. If you take her, I'll curse you. You'll never take her away from me. She's mine, I tell you, mine.
If this girl is your flesh and blood, then may God have mercy on you for your treatment of her. If she's not your flesh and blood, then you have no claim on her. Now, woman, if you are a woman, step aside and hold your tongue.
It's all right, Nanny. We'll take care of you.
Mr. Raymond and Diamond took Nanny to the Children's Hospital, of which Mr. Raymond was one of the most generous benefactors. And for the first time in her life, she was lying in a nice, clean bed. But she knew nothing of it. She was in the fever ward, and too ill to know what was going on around her. Diamond returned to his anxious father at the museum cab stand. In the weeks to come, Diamond dreamt many times of North Wind and flying over the roofs of London and the little crossing sweeper driven through the desolate streets. He knew that North Wind had something to do with all this. Each night, he would wake up with the name of his mysterious visitor always on his lips.
North Wind. Is it you? Are you there? Oh, if only you had come to me tonight. Where are you? Where?
If Diamond had not already been to the back of the North Wind, he would surely have despaired of seeing her ever again. But he knew that time meant nothing in that country, and that North Wind would visit him tomorrow, next week, or next year. It was all the same to her. He would wait, although he longed to fly with her once more.
Right. Old Diamond is ready to go. I'm off to work.
Joseph, are you all right, husband?
It's nothing.
You're burning up.
I'm fine, I tell you. I'm in as good health as maybe, and it's all this smog and grime.
Oh, get to bed. No, you must rest. You've got a fever. I know it when I see it, husband.
Stop fussing, Martha. How can a body afford to be ill? If I don't keep up the payments, we'll lose the cab.
Let's lose it, then. I'd sooner lose the cab than lose you. To bed with you.
Well, perhaps I will lie down, just for a moment, then.
Dad can't go to work, can he?
I'm sure he'll be all right again soon.
I can drive the cab. I can do it by myself.
A little scrap like you on your own at the cab stand?
I do know what to do. I've done it all with Dad.
How would you last an hour with all those ruffians on the street? They'd eat you alive, they would. And what if you turned the cab over? What then? Oh, what's to be done? What's to be done?
I must help Dad. Trust me, Mum. I'll be all right.
Diamond!
Cab! Cab! Quickly! I'm in a hurry.
Very good, sir. Where to, sir?
Well, I'll be... Are you the driver of this cab?
Yes, sir.
You're the youngest cabman I've ever seen. How am I to know you won't break all my bones?
Because my old Diamond is the finest horse in the land, sir. But if you're not so easy in your mind, never mind. I'll pick up another fare, I'm sure.
Wait, Dad. I'll go with you. King's Cross Station.
Driver, take me to Bow Street, please, number 26.
Right, madam. Very good, madam.
All this? You earned all this in one day?
There's more in my other pocket.
Oh, I can't believe this. And I was so afraid for you. Riding off all by yourself, right through the city.
I had old Diamond to look after me, and the wind in my hair, and so many songs, they kept flowing through my head, sort of flowing one after another, just as if I was riding all the way to the back of the North Wind.
What's that the boy's saying?
I don't know the half of what he's saying.
Well, missus, I fancy a cup of tea this evening.
Then perhaps you're on the mend at last. I'll make it.
Well done, my son. And have you told the boy the news?
You tell him.
What news?
Mr. Raymond sent over a message for you.
Mr. Raymond?
He's coming by at 7 o'clock to take you to visit the little crossing sweeper girl in hospital.
Oh, Nanny, is she all right?
I don't know. All he said in his message was he wants you to see her as soon as you can.
Well, Diamond, I believe you noticed quite a change in Nanny since we brought her here a few weeks ago.
What kind of change? Is it a good change or a bad one?
See for yourself. There she is.
Over there. That's not Nanny.
Come on well, hasn't she? Yes, it's Nanny. I've been here many times since you last saw her. She's still very weak, but growing stronger all the time.
She must have been to the back of the North Wind. She must.
Go over to her. I'll leave you to talk for a while.
Nanny? It's you, Diamond. The boy who talks bosh.
If you say so.
I don't mind, you know. Mr. Raymond told me how you found me. And ran to fetch him. So, thank you.
Are you feeling better?
Yeah. It's so lovely here, and they're looking after me, and I can have a bath every day. I'm proper spoilt, I am, lying in bed like a duchess. And yet...
What is it?
Dunno. When I wake up, I always feel as if there's something else, like I forgot something, and should be somewhere else.
I feel like that too. I think I know.
Oh, I had such a funny dream, Diamond. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, yeah. Tell me. I love hearing about dreams.
I was standing in my rags, and I had great holes in my shoes. And then a cold wind began to blow and flatter all my rags about.
That must have been the north wind.
You and your north wind. Anyway, I was standing in a garden, and then I saw the moon itself. As big as a house and as round as a ball, shining like yellow silver. Suddenly the door opened and a funny little man popped out his head.
Perhaps he was the man in the moon.
He was. And he shouted out, "Come along, Nanny. My lady wants you."
My lady? See, I told you it was the north wind.
Then he took me into a room, and there in the corner, sitting all silently, was a beautiful lady. With hair right down to her feet. It fell down all around her. Round and round the room.
That's her. I'm sure of it. What did she say?
Nothing. She just looked at me, sort of. It was like she were looking right inside me. But with such love. And oh, she was so silent and so beautiful. But of course, it was only a dream.
It really was North Wind. That's just like her. I know.
You've got a toe, Lucy, you have. How can the wind be a lady with long hair who lives in the moon?
North Wind sweeps the cobwebs from the skies, doesn't she? Well then, she might go to the moon for a little rest sometimes.
Of course. The wind might go to the moon for a little rest. And so might I, and so might you. Bosh, bosh, bosh. It was a dream, that's all.
But Nanny, who says dreams can't be real?
You're such a strange boy.
Diamond, we want to ask you something.
You can ask me anything you like.
Mr. Raymond's been telling us about your friend, the little girl from the hospital.
Nanny?
Yes. Soon she'll be well enough to leave there. And then what will happen to her?
I don't know. But she mustn't go back to Old Cell.
Indeed she mustn't. So... what would you say if she came to stay with us for a while?
Oh, yes.
Mr. Raymond's going abroad and he's asked us to look after her till he gets back. The thing is, Nanny would be quite a help to your mother.
I'm sure she would be.
Yes. Nanny could help me when the baby comes.
Baby?
Yes, son. You're going to have a little brother or sister in a few months.
I hope that pleases you, Diamond.
Pleases me? I reckon it's the best idea you ever had.
So Nanny came to live with Diamond and his family, which was a good thing. And Martha had her baby, which was a better thing. And for a time, they were as happy as they could be. But the fortunes of business blow every which way. And soon, Joseph wasn't getting enough fares to make ends meet. At night, Nanny lay in her bed and could hear Joseph and Martha through the wall.
All the way from Bloomsbury to Hoxton, not a single fare. Not a single wave at the corner, not so much as cab please or driver, nothing. Nothing. The payment's due on the cab tomorrow, not a silver shilling have we got. Empty pockets, empty stomachs and misery all round, Martha.
There'll be some way.
You're always full of fine sayings, woman. Fine sayings won't feed this family. Nothing now's going to save us from...
The workhouse.
The workhouse?
Yes.
Joseph.
The thing is, come to this. But I can't see no way round it. I've reached the end of the road. It's the workhouse for us. There's nowhere else to go.
Oh, Joseph. Oh, no.
Martha, please. Please don't cry.
Diamond, are you awake? Yes? Did you hear?
Yes.
Oh, this is terrible.
It'd be better to go to the back of the North Wind.
So you say. But what good is that when we don't know how to get there?
We must wait till we're taken.
I'm afraid, Diamond. Aren't you afraid?
No. I've been talking to North Wind. I'm sure she knows what to do.
Blast this wind. Oh. Leave me now, driver. I've business here.
So, Mr. Raymond, I was wondering if we'd ever see you again.
I've been away for quite some time on business. You knew that, Joseph. Is something wrong?
Wrong? Oh, yes, you might say so.
Mr. Raymond, please, come in. Sit down. Can I offer you something to drink?
Something to drink? I only wish we could offer him something to drink. We ain't got nothing in the house.
I'm sorry, Mr. Raymond, but you find us in a bad way tonight. I'll see if I can borrow some tea from next door.
Nanny and I are pleased to see you, ain't we? Yes, sir. Indeed we are.
Well, now, Diamond, Nanny, and the baby. I hope the baby's able to give me a little smile. Ah, there, you see?
I beg your pardon if I seem rude, but... Diamond, go and help your mother.
Yes, Dad.
Nanny, take the baby with
you. Oh, there we go.
May I speak frankly, sir?
Of course, Joseph.
You've been gone for such a long time.
And you have two more mouths to feed now.
Quite so. And things have not gone well of late, and I fear I shall have no cab tomorrow.
No cab, do you say? Well, then, I suppose you'll have no need of your horse.
How's that, sir?
What have I proposed to buy the horse?
What? You buy my old Diamond, sir.
Why not?
I wouldn't part with my old Diamond, even if his skin were as full of gold nuggets as it is of bones. I'd sooner part with my right arm than that horse.
Who said anything about parting with him?
You did just now, sir.
No, no, no. I only spoke of buying him to make a pair with Ruby, my own horse. You see, I shall need two horses to pull my new carriage. Didn't I mention I'd bought a new carriage? Of course, we'd have to slim Ruby down and feed Diamond up a bit, but that shouldn't be too hard. As for height, they're a pretty good match, wouldn't you agree?
What? I'm sorry, I don't follow you, sir.
Of course, you would be my coachman if you're willing to consider the position.
What?
Good salary and live in accommodation with plenty of room for the whole family. Delightful country surroundings for growing children. Plenty of fresh air and sunshine.
Your coachman, sir? But am I to understand you're offering me a position?
But of course. Don't I make myself clear? Immediate start, or as soon as convenient. I've bought a place in Kent, you see, which is why we shall need a good pair of horses to pull the carriage. For the roads are hilly thereabouts. There's more to tell you, Joseph, by and by. I must dash. Think about it. We'll talk tomorrow.
Think about it? I don't believe there's anything to think about, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Diamond set you down for a friend, sir, the moment he saw you. I do believe that child of mine sees a lot more than other folks do.
Oh, he's a remarkable boy. So, it's settled then. And you'll come to the country?
With my whole heart, sir. Thank you.
So, Joseph took his wife and two children, and Nanny, to a tidy little country village in Kent. And beyond it, up a hill full of spreading trees and soft waving grasses, to a cottage behind a tall mansion of fading yellow stone. The mansion was called The Mound by everyone in those parts. Mr. Raymond had married a lady he met during his travels abroad, and she had heartily given her approval to the employment of Joseph and his family. I will not describe the varied feelings of the party as they left the soot and grime of their city home, or how they felt as they arrived in the cool, green tranquility of Kent. All I will say is that Diamond was full of quiet delight, a gladness that seemed too deep to talk about. He was given a special job, page boy to Mrs. Raymond. And she offered him his very own bedroom in the great house.
It's at the very top of the house. I hope you won't mind being so high up, Diamond.
Oh, no, Mrs. Raymond. I always used to sleep alone in the hayloft and loved it there. I've never been afraid of nothing, really. Well, not much, at least. And I like being high up, near the north wind. Will I be able to see outside?
Yes. There are two little windows. In the daytime, you can see the countryside for miles around. Oh, dear. I'd better close those. There's a sharp wind.
No. I like the windows open, thank you, Mrs. Raymond.
Just as long as you don't get cold. We're all concerned about your health, Diamond.
Please, just for now. I'll let it blow. Oh, look. We're up so high. I'm near the stars. And not far from the tops of trees. That's just what I like, I do.
Well, then. Good night, Diamond.
Thank you, Mrs. Raymond. Good night. I can feel the wind. But is that you, North Wind? Do you like my new room? Now you can visit me anytime you like.
It was very soon after this that I came to know Diamond. I was a tutor in a family whose estate adjoined the property belonging to the Raymonds. I had met Mr. Raymond in London some time before, and he asked if I might give one evening a week to tutoring a small boy and a small girl who were now living in his care. I was strolling up the drive towards the house to call upon him one fine warm evening, when I saw Diamond for the first time.
Hello!
Hello!
Aren't you lonely, sitting there all by yourself, without your friends?
No. When nobody's minding me, I get into my nest and look up into the sky.
Where's your nest? Ah, I see, a treehouse.
I call it my nest.
Well, yes, of course, a nest, why not? How do you reach it?
A rope ladder. On the other side, see?
Ah.
When I get up, all the way up to the top, I feel as if I'm in the North Wind's arms.
This was the first I heard of North Wind. And there was something about the lad, his strange way and quiet wisdom. I saw him often after this, and gained so much of his confidence that he told me all I've been telling you. I cannot pretend to account for it. Mr. Raymond felt rather as I did about the lad, although, of course, there were those, like Nanny, who proclaimed that he must have a tile loose.
What are you always going up in that tree for, Diamond?
Sometimes for one thing, sometimes for another. I'm going up to look at the moon tonight. I wish I could dream lovely dreams about her, like you did, Nanny.
You silly. You're always on about that dream.
Well, you're the one who dreamed it. You told me.
I only dreamed it just that one time. And it was nonsense enough, I'm sure.
But you saw the lady. And it made you feel better.
But it was only a dream. I can't get any sense into you. Do you really believe, Diamond, that there's a house in the moon with a little old man in it and a beautiful lady there?
If there isn't, there's something better.
I wonder why you doesn't get that tile fixed in your head, you poor little fellow.
Don't.
What, sir?
Don't get that tile fixed.
Why ever not, sir?
What I mean is, use the word don't rather than doesn't. Say, I wonder why you don't get that tile fixed in your head. Perhaps you'd like to learn some grammar.
Oh, no, sir. I can't learn nothing.
Quite so. And if you can't learn nothing, then you can learn anything. The family worried about Diamond's health, as he seemed to become more fragile in his body. But his spirit was alive, more alive than any I'd ever known, as if he'd somehow come upon the secret of life itself. And in my mind, the safer and happier his family had grown, the more distant he became.
as if his mind dwelled elsewhere. At times he would disappear, and his family would worry. But I always knew where to find him. Are you up there, Diamond?
Yes, sir.
It's getting dark. Aren't you worried about climbing down safely when you can't see properly?
It's not so dark. I've got all the moon I want tonight. Watch. Oh.
Careful, laddie.
There, you see? That's the north wind blowing, ain't it, sir?
I can't tell. It feels cool and kind. And I think it may be. Diamond, you still talk about the north wind a great deal. Have you seen her again lately?
I haven't for a long time. Not since we left London. She'll come again. I know she will.
What makes you so certain she'll come?
Because she loves me. North wind, is it you? Oh, you're here. I can feel you. It's been such a long time since I touched your hair and your hands. Please say that it's you, and I'm not just dreaming. I don't want to dream you.
Oh. Diamond. I'm either not a dream, or there's something better that's not a dream.
Oh, it is you. It really is.
There. I've got you. You're in my arms. See? You've always been in my arms.
Have I? But I didn't know. I waited so long. I waited for you.
Let's fly through the window. Let's fly up into your tree. Come on. Take my hand.
Oh, yes. Into my nest. My nest beneath the stars.
It's such a lovely place. I've watched you here so many, many times.
But why? Why didn't you...
Shh. Lie in my lap. That's it. Just there. Just curled up there. Hush, my baby, rock-a-bye baby.
Shh. I like to look into your eyes.
And I like to look into yours. They're so blue and so clear.
I want to look into your face forever and ever.
Do you? Come, let's fly over the meadows and the trees and the stream.
It's like silver thread weaving through the land. Oh, we're floating so softly. I like that. Not rushing, just floating. North wind, I wish you could tell me everything.
You mustn't suppose I am able to answer all your questions. There are such a lot of things that I don't understand any more than you do. But I will tell you all I know. I don't think I am quite what you fancy me to be. I shape myself various ways to various people. But the heart of me is true. People call me by dreadful names and think they know all about me, but they don't. Sometimes they call me bad fortune, sometimes evil chance, sometimes ruin. And they have another name for me, which they think the most dreadful of all.
What's that?
Do you remember having to go through me to get into the country at my back?
Oh, yeah, I do. You were all cold then, North Wind, and so white. All but your beautiful eyes. My heart grew like a lump of ice. And then I forgot for a bit.
You were very near to knowing what they call me then. Would you be afraid of me if you had to go through me again?
No. Why should I? I'd be glad enough if it was only to get another peep at the country at your back.
You've never really seen it.
Haven't I, Northwind? What did I see then?
Only a sort of picture of it. Like the reflection in a mirror. The real country at my real back is ever so much more beautiful than that. But you shall see it one day. Perhaps before very long.
Do they sing songs there?
Ever so many.
Did you give Nanny her dream?
Yes.
I was the lady that sat at the window of the moon.
I knew it. At least I was pretty sure you had something to do with that.
Oh, look. I know where we are. It's our dear old home. Mr. Coleman's grand house. And our garden. And our lovely old coach house. Can I get down and see it?
Are you sure you want to?
Oh, yes. I want to see if my dear old bed's there, with its hole in the wall. The hole you came whistling through.
Everything is there.
Oh, it's so dark. No one here. Nothing. No furniture. No chairs. It's so quiet. I just want to see in the attic and my old bed. It's... Oh, look at all the bare planks and the hole. It's just an old hole. An old hole in the wall. It's just so empty and dark and... Where are you, North Wind?
Here. Have you had enough of your old home already?
It ain't a home at all now.
No.
I so wanted to go back.
To what, Diamond?
It's so empty. Like an empty shell on the beach. And no one lives in it anymore. Without the people, it's all dead. It isn't the same place.
Ah, yes. It's so easy to look in the wrong place. Come.
Oh, here's Mr. Raymond's house. Mum and Dad are in the garden and... Oh, Mum's crying.
I'll set you down here, in your nest. You can climb down and comfort them. And tell them...
What shall I tell them?
You must decide.
Decide?
Do you know, Diamond, what I've been trying to show you?
I think I know. Will you come back tomorrow? Or the next day? Or the next?
Diamond.
Soon.
Diamond, where have you gone?
North
Diamond,
Wind.
Where are you?
Diamond.
Will you come back for
come
me?
On, boy.
Can you hear me?
Diamond, where are you, boy? Where are you?
Look, he's in the tree.
Diamond!
He's gone up to his nest.
Oh,
why didn't I think of that? Diamond, you silly. Everyone's going crazy worrying about you.
It's all right. I'm coming down.
Oh, Diamond. You've given us all such a fright. Mrs. Raymond said you weren't in your room. She said the window was wide, wide open. All the attic rooms were open and it was howling a gale.
Is he all right? Is the boy quite well?
He's been sleepwalking, ma'am. It's what a boy does. Lord knows why.
Sleep climbing, more like. How can anyone climb a tree in their sleep unless they've got a tie all loose?
I'm here. It's all right.
Oh, poor boy.
You're so cold. You silly, silly. Oh, you silly boy.
Have you been dreaming all the way up there?
I don't think I have.
Come back to bed. I'll fetch a warming pan. And cook will make him some hot milk.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know. If I'd known about the sleepwalking...
Don't worry yourself, ma'am. He's been doing it these last 2 years. Whenever the fever takes him.
The fever.
I'll fetch the doctor in the morning.
And so the doctor came and prescribed some medicine. And the boy seemed to rally for some weeks. He slept well and took gentle walks in the gardens. It was at such times that I would find him, not so often in his nest, but lying in the grasses and gazing up into the sky. We would discuss his extraordinary conversations with North Wind, as if we were two gentlemen philosophers. And soon enough I would forget his tender age and who was the tutor and who was the pupil.
Could it be all dreaming? Do you think so?
I cannot tell. But I wonder...
What?
She told you once that you have never really seen the country at the back of the North Wind.
Yes. What I saw was only a kind of picture of it, like a reflection in a mirror.
Well, then, perhaps she is a kind of picture, too, a reflection of something else. Even if she's a dream, the dream of such a beautiful creature could not come to you by chance. She herself told you she follows the orders of another. So, perhaps she's telling you of something more wonderful than she is, and an even greater love than hers.
I saw her again last night.
Did she take you out with her?
No. She didn't speak to me. I woke up, like I do when I'm going to see her. And there she was, sitting against the door into the big room, just like I saw her sit on her own doorstep, as white as snow. Her eyes were all blue, like the heart of an iceberg. She looked at me, but never moved or spoke.
Weren't you afraid?
No. I felt a little cold, but it's strange. All I could feel was this longing. You know, I could hear that river singing, and the people, only different. I could see people walking through and beyond her eyes, in such a lovely light, and there was children laughing. It was like a sort of birthday.
You saw all that through her eyes?
Oh, more. I saw so much more. I keep forgetting. Like, all sort of coming and going. And like a dream that keeps coming back and back. And then it's gone again.
I felt a moment of anguish when he said this. But also something of his excitement and intense anticipation. Soon, all I could think about was the river singing its mysterious and far-off song, and the people walking in the brightness, and the radiant faces of the children as they ran through the distant meadows. Mr. Raymond?
Thank you for coming over at such a difficult time.
Difficult? I came for my lesson with Diamond and Nanny.
Oh, dear. Then you haven't heard?
No, sir. I don't think I have heard. What?
I'm sorry to have to tell you. Last night, Diamond came down with another fever and didn't recover. He died peacefully in his sleep.
Ah, then she did come back for him.
Who did?
I'm so sorry for the family.
Oh, yes. We're all heartbroken. He was a most remarkable boy.
Perhaps the most remarkable boy I've ever known. For days after that, I went to the nest, Diamond's little treehouse, and listened to the wind, longing that she would come to me as she'd so often come to Diamond. Longing, I suppose, for just a glimpse of his new home. For I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that she had come for him. Or that someone even better had picked the boy up in strong and loving arms and carried him to his beloved home. At the back of the North Wind.
That was the final part of At the Back of the North Wind by George MacDonald. Juliet Stevenson starred as the North Wind, with Joss Ackland as Mr. Raymond, and Tom Fleming as our storyteller. Diamond was played by Pax Baldwin, and Nanny by Jacqueline Benbow. Russell Balter played Joseph, and Annette Badland was Martha. Margot Lester was Mrs. Raymond, Audrey Palmer played Aunt Mary, David Oakley was the Doctor, and Polly March played Old Sal. Michael Hockey played the drunken cabman, and Sarah Finch played his wife. Other parts were played by members of the company. At the Back of the North Wind was dramatized by Philip Glassborough and Murray Watts. Sound design was by Todd